the network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Social, recorded May 28th, 2013, with AV Dawn and Kelly Perkins. Episode 1 of our reboot. Who is this? Personal branding.
This is Dawn Mead, and I'm here for AV Social. We're an AV Nations production. I'm here with my co-hosts, Kelly Perkins, and we're going to be talking to you today about the topic of personal branding. But first, if you are a fan of AV Social and have listened to some of our previous shows, you might notice I'm not Scott Moody. We are rebooting the AV Social show and hoping to bring you an expanded scope of content. Originally, AV Nation intended the show to just talk about social media topics, but we feel that the AV industry needs to look at a broader scope of social media, marketing, and even some sales topics. So Kelly and I are taking over for Scott, who will be back on some future shows as a guest, and we're going to discuss these topics with you. So who's Kelly Perkins? Kelly, take it away. Tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you, Don. My name is Kelly Perkins, and I head up the marketing department over at Vodio. If you are not familiar with Vodio, we manufacture PTZ cameras, control systems, and every peripheral, well, almost every peripheral you can think of to go along with PTZ cameras. We also OEM some Sony, Panasonic, and Canon cameras as well, and offer a bunch of peripherals for them too. That's basically the gist of Vodio. I've been here for about 5.5 years, and that was my entry into the AV world. So before that, I was in the printing industry, and it was completely different, but I love the AV industry, I love Vodio, and I am not going anywhere anytime soon.
Great. And the printing industry does have a lot to say with marketing as well, so it sort of ties together nicely.
Yep.
Well, I'm Dawn Mead. I am also known as AV Dawn, and I've been in the AV industry for probably pushing 15 years now. My current position here at NetAV, a systems integrator in Maryland, is the marketing and media coordinator. I'm in charge of all of our marketing projects, all of our social media, and our website, which is a similar position to some I've held with other integrators in the past. Today's topic, personal branding, is one that's kind of dear to my heart because, as I mentioned, I'm AV Dawn, and lots of people know me that way. I sort of taught myself personal branding over the past couple of years, since about 2009. And so I've become sort of an expert in the industry on personal branding, but by no means am I an expert on the topic. We're here to explore these topics together and learn as much as we can overall. I laugh about calling myself an expert or not because a fast fact here, Ad Age magazine in January found that there were 181,000 self-proclaimed social media and marketing experts on Twitter. And
of course,
people that put things like social media authority, consultant, evangelist, expert, guru, titles like that, they went through and counted. The first year they did the count was 2009, and they only had 16,000 self-proclaimed experts. Now we're up to 181,000. I am not one of them. Everything I know, I've taught myself and learned from other fine folks in our industry. But, you know, we're the hosts, so here we go. You don't call yourself an expert on Twitter, do you, Kelly?
No. I will be honest, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I mean, when I started at Vodio, I didn't even understand social media. I don't even think I practiced it or did anything with it. It kind of came along and, you know, as everybody else did, kind of just dove, you know, head first and here we are.
These so-called experts.
Yes, right.
To go along with your profile picture, one of the titles that people actually use is Social Media Jedi. So I think that's pretty appropriate. If you could see Kelly's picture here on Skype is a herself as a Jedi, which is fantastic. So, okay, let's get onto the topic here then. Real quickly, before we get into personal branding, what is branding? Kelly, do you want to tackle a general introduction to quickly what branding is?
Okay, yeah, I can give it a shot. What I would consider branding is, you know, there's lots of different ways of doing it, whether it's, you know, personal or for your company or, you know, a type of group or association or organization you're involved in. What I would say is your brand is really, you know, I'm gonna kind of focus on a company here, for example, but it's really your company's face to the world. You know, it's a kind of promise to your customers, your partners, your vendors, your suppliers, to everyone, you know, almost like your company's personality, you know, and it trickles down to everything, you know, from advertising, promotions to packaging and product design and whatnot. But I think I would have to say that the definition of branding from a company standpoint is really who you are, what you do, and, you know, what makes you different.
That's a great description. In fact, I think that puts it better than some of the sources I've found here. You know, some people like Brick Marketing Online or some of the other sources that if you just Google what is branding, they pretty much all say it's just an idea or an image of a specific company or product that consumers connect with. But I like yours. It's the face that we present to the world and what they remember. And under the topic of general branding and personal branding is logo, what you choose mm-hmm. to represent yourself graphically, the colors you choose, and there are infographics and books and everything written about different colors and their meanings and what they say about your company. The fonts you choose on all of your marketing materials, on your websites, different design features. You know, we here at NetAV, we have something called the swoop. It's not a swoosh, it's not Nike, but we have a swoop that's a sort of swoopy, swooshy shape, not at mm-hmm. all like the Nike one, but it's something that is a design element that we use on our website, we use it on our marketing materials in hard copy, we use it on our emails, and it's just one of those fun little things that sort of ties it together as part of our brand. And then slogans and mottos, those are also under the umbrella of branding. And so, you know, all of these things, they work together with your marketing, with your advertising, and with your public relations efforts to sort of identify who you are and what you're about. So my biggest advice before we even talk about personal branding is make sure your company has a strong brand. Because if you don't have a brand in your company, you have no business being a personal branding unless you are the company. You know, Absolutely. If you're Oprah. Yeah, I mean, if you're Oprah or Donald Trump, they are the brand. And they're like the height of personal branding. But you need a brand first.
Absolutely. It's too confusing not to.
Right. So getting onto the topic of personal branding, who are you going to brand in your company and why? Are you branding the owner of the company, sort of like an Oprah, a Donald Trump, a Martha Stewart? Are you going to brand your head of sales if that's the person that goes out and is the face of your company to the world? Are you branding a PR person? Or are you branding, to a lesser degree, all of your staff? Part of branding and personal branding can be as simple as every one of your people that goes out into the field, every one of your technicians, your service staff, your salespeople, they all wear the same red shirt with a logo. Mm-hmm. Or the same uniform. You know, you see, you can easily identify certain people working for different companies based on what they're wearing. Sort of like we all dress at trade shows, you know, different booth staff. And Kelly, you can speak to this better than I can because you usually are in a booth at Infocom. But would you say that that's, you know, a level of corporate personal branding?
Absolutely. I mean, well, yeah, every year we all try and dress, you know, in some sort of uniform by color. I mean, we tend to change it up every year. And I think one year we ended up wearing Hawaiian shirts with palm trees on them. So I think we moved a little bit away from our brand there. But since then, we've been trying to keep it fairly consistent. But yeah, definitely. I mean, then you can at least see, you know, when customers come to the booth or partners, people can see, you know, who's working the booth and know that it's a Vadio person, and feel free to step up and introduce yourself.
Right, right. And I mean, I'm even thinking in the retail world, if you go to Best Buy, you always find that kid in the blue shirt, and you know that that's the staff person that you need to speak with. That's actually a lesser level of personal branding.
Yeah, but it works great.
it absolutely works. And it's one of those things that you don't think about as, gee, that's part of our marketing or that's part of our branding. You just think, oh, I have to wear this shirt because my boss said to. But you really, that's part of the face of the company to the customer and to the potential customer.
And God forbid you get caught wearing red shirt and khakis at Target when you're not working.
Very true. Very true. So with personal branding, what's the deal with personal branding? Why would we go through the effort of branding ourselves? And, you know, before we dig into that, we have to slaughter a few sacred cows, so to speak. There's an author that both Kelly and I are familiar with. And if you listening are not familiar with him, you should go out and read some of his stuff. His name is Peter Montoya, and he wrote a book called The Brand Called You. And in that book, he sort of digs into this sacred cow killing with a couple of delusions in conventional wisdom, he calls them. The first delusion is the public cares about your business. The reality is, unless you're Coke, Apple, McDonald's, or just the undisputed market leader, the public doesn't know you exist. In the AV industry, if you're an integrator and you're not AVISPL, chances are nobody's even heard of you. You know, if you're not the industry leader for manufacturer, everyone knows Sony, everyone knows Samsung, everyone knows, a good number of people know Extron, but outside of the AV world, how many people know Vadio?
Or probably not many.
Right? I mean, we all know and love Vadio, but, you know, outside of our little world, who knows RGB Spectrum, for instance? Who knows Kramer? Who knows, you know, some of these names, mm-hmm. unless you are in the industry or peripheral to the industry, married to or so forth, chances are you don't know these names. So that's the number one delusion in conventional wisdom, is that the public really cares about your company. They don't even know you're out there. The second thing is that you and your company offer something different from and superior to every one of your competitors' offerings. When in reality, as much as it kills us as marketers to admit it, if you're in the same industry, chances are you're offering pretty much the same stuff as the next guy. I will sit here all day and tell you how fantastic NetAV's integration is, and we do a great job. But at the end of the day, to someone not really in tune with what all is involved in being an integrator, we're like every other integrator. We, you know, provide product, we install product, we service product. We have a crew of guys, you know, some of whom have CTSs, some of whom don't. It's sort of, we're all alike at the end of the day.
Yep.
And so, you know, what we need to do is figure out ways as business people to set ourselves apart. Kelly, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I mean, if you think about it, you know, do we have a deck, like, speaking from Vadio, do we have a direct competitor for everything that we do? No, not in that package type sense, but are there competitor PTZ cameras? Are there competitive switchers? Are there competitor document cameras or, you know, mounting systems? Of course. And it just, you have to figure out a way to set yourself apart from those different companies, whether it's, you know, the fact that we can offer it as a package or the fact that, you know, it's more affordable or it has a, you know, specific feature that theirs doesn't have. You know, it's really just trying to set yourself apart and figure out, you know, what that one thing that, you know, unique value proposition you can give that the other companies can't.
Right. Exactly. You use the term unique value proposition. In my business school classes I just finished, it was unique selling proposition. Same difference. Mm-hmm. What sets you apart from the crowd? It's, you know, the little fish dilemma when you're swimming in a pool of fish, in a school of fish where everyone looks the same. What makes you stand out? And one mm-hmm. of the ways you can do that is through personal branding. Obviously, assuming you already have a strong company brand. With personal branding, there's another author named Christian Anderson, and he wrote a book called, let me find the name of the book here. He wrote a book called The Brand You, and he asks a series of questions when you develop your personal brand and to help you figure out a way to build that brand. His questions include, what are your goals? What do you value? What are you passionate about? What motivates you? And these sort of questions, they come down to, what is authentic to you? What do you have talent for? What do you have passion for? They say talent plus passion plus experience equals your brand, where those three intersect. And so, you know, we want to think about what makes our company unique, but let's be authentic and be real about it. I'm sure we've all heard the old elevator pitch, be able to sell your company in the course of an elevator. In personal branding, we have something that's similar to the elevator pitch, and it's also quite challenging, and that is, you should be able to identify who you are, explain who you are and what you do in 15 words or less. And if you can do that, then you can develop a personal brand quite easily.
What are yours, Don?
I can tell you mine, actually. In the AV world, I say, I translate tech speak into English so normal people can understand it.
Perfect. I love it.
Throughout my career, when I was in sales in AV, when I was doing customer and vendor liaison, when I was doing marketing as I am now, I always take what the techs and the engineers and, you know, sorry, the geeks in our industry, you know, are talking about, and figure out a way to make that understandable and sell the passion to the normal person that's intimidated by all the plugs and wires and cables and geeky things that we do.
No, that's perfect. You? I love it. To be honest, I don't have any idea what my personal brand would be in 15 words or less. I would have to think about it. And maybe we'll have to reconvene another time after I have some time to think about it.
And that's part of the fun of it. I first had this exercise of explaining who you are. And actually, they said 10 words or less, and mine's 11 words, so I kind of cheated. But, you know, figuring out in 10 words or less at the NSCA Business and Leadership Conference.
Okay.
I went to the 2012 edition of that, and one of the speakers there made everyone and put us right on the spot, gave us 5 minutes and said, go, figure it out. And then we all had to go around the room and explain in 10 words or less, 11 words, what it is we do and who we are and so it's a fun exercise. If you have time, definitely you should do that. Everyone listening, take a few minutes and try to figure it out. And it can become part of your elevator pitch as a company, but it also can be the foundation of where you're building your brand.
I have some homework tonight.
So to develop your personal brand, you know, I mentioned the five questions that Christian Anderson asks. He gives some advice and five rules for doing this. He tells us to be diligent, be consistent, be relevant, be interesting, and most important, be yourself or be authentic. So throughout the conversation here, whatever we say, keep those five things in mind, and we'll come back to those. But those are the five key things in building a personal brand and even building a company brand to some extent that, you know, you can only build a facade for so long before people will look around and say, hey, that's not real. That's not who you really are. So if you've got a personal brand, does that automatically make you an expert? Going back to those, what was it, 181,000 social media experts that we mentioned earlier. Whether you are a super genius or an expert or a brain, developing a personal brand doesn't automatically translate into that. It does impact people's perceptions of you, however. In his book, A Brand Called You, Peter Montoya says, quote, your visibility is more important than your ability. When people see your name or face consistently, they assume you must be more successful and therefore better than the service providers they never see. Your visibility affects people's perception of your competence, and your personal brand is your weapon in the visibility battle. Now, those are strong words. Some people may take those words and say, well, cool, all I have to do is build a brand and people will come to me and I'll be successful. Well, no, not really. At the end of the day, you have to be able to have some substance there. You could win a few jobs on flash and dazzle, but it becomes apparent.
You have to be able to back it up.
Exactly. You know, both talk the talk and walk the walk. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have two manufacturers that build similar products, but you've never heard of one, even if the products are both totally functional and totally do what they're supposed to, you're going to go with the name you know. Likewise, if you have two integrators that are both equally certified, equally trained, equally successful, you know, in knowing what they're doing, at the end of the day, you're going to go with the name you've heard as opposed to who?
Absolutely.
So that's where personal branding is sort of key to building a reputation. To be honest, that's why I started my personal brand back in 2009 was, you know, what sets apart this tiny integrator that I'm working for from all the other tiny integrators and the bigger integrators, midsize, and of course the AVISPLs of the world. And the idea of, you know, perceived expertise. I may not have any more certifications than the next guy in the industry, but if people have heard of me, if people know the name and know the reputation that comes along with that, that goes a long way into building credibility for the company.
And I will give you props. I will give you props because you are a household name around our office, and my colleagues at trade shows get excited to see you at shows.
See, and that's one of the things when I first started talking about personal branding to some of our local businesses here in the Maryland area, when I've done presentations on it, it still trips me out that people know me because, you know, I work for a 20-person integrator in the suburbs of Baltimore. At the time when people started knowing me, I worked for a 10-person integrator in the suburbs of Baltimore with like a best year ever of maybe $1 million worth of business. Like, you know, in the scheme of things, I'm kind of nobody, but by using some of these tools and tips on personal branding and social media and marketing and stuff, I kind of know people now. And with that comes growth both of the company and your own, you know, business and professional reputation. So that's
why
we're here.
And I think a big thing in it too is, you know, it's personal branding, whether it's your company or yourself. I mean, it doesn't hurt anything. All right. It does is help. And it's, you know, it's a combination of, you know, kind of like what we talked about before, you know, whether it's, you know, design or promotions or your logo or whatnot, but it's also, you know, the different types of things you get involved in, helping out your peers, you know, kind of going out of your way. And a lot of these things are, I mean, they're free. Why not do them? You know, take a little bit of time out of your day, you know, to add a little bit to your personal brand. And a lot of the times you get more out of it than you put in. You know, you kind of find that out, you know, after a little while. It takes a little while, but I definitely think, again, it's all, you know, they say time is money or whatever, but, you know, 15 minutes out of every day to create something that's very impactful and, again, free, why not?
Right. And that's exactly how I started it in 2009 because the 10-person company I was with at that time had like zero budget for marketing and for publicity and for press, and it was pulling teeth to get anything done. And I said, you know, there's a lot of free stuff out there. If you just take advantage of it and take some time to build it, it'll develop and it'll come. You know, which brings me to another great point. No matter how fantastic a personal brand you develop, it's not going to happen overnight. Lasting success does. And if you don't believe me, you can ask any overnight success. Like Rovio, Angry Birds was their 52nd game they developed, but they're an overnight success. James Dyson had 5,126 failed prototypes before he came up with his revolutionary vacuum cleaner. As much as you might loathe her at this point, Carly Rae Jepsen recorded 3 albums, and was in the music business for 5 years before Call Me Maybe annoyed us all last summer. So, you know, anything we do, true overnight success without any effort is not just rare, it's almost unheard of. And so we have to, like, look at this as a marathon. We're not going to develop personal brands for everybody overnight. It's not a sprint. It'll take time. It'll take training. But unlike running, we all have a slightly different route if we want to get to our finish line. So what worked for AV Dawn might not work for Kelly at Vadio. It might not work for the guys at AV Nation or, you know, anyone else who might be listening to this podcast. It's all very unique. And just imagine a race where we all start at the same place and end at the same place, but we all take our own route to get there. That's kind of what we are. You just have to... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's why it's so cool, and that's why you're a personal brand.
Exactly. There is no... You can buy textbooks on this. You can buy Montoya's book. You can buy Christian Anderson's book. You can buy countless books on the topic. But at the end of the day, you have to kind of cherry pick from those books and from those tips to find what's going to work for your own company, your own self, your own situation, your own geography. You know, Kelly, you're in Minnesota, I believe.
Yep.
And what will work in Minnesota would probably not work at all here in Maryland, Washington, D.C. I can tell you, Washington, D.C., greater area, is its own weird little thing. And people come into this area thinking that they know the industry and then fail because it's so unique of a geographic situation. So, you know, everything is a little different. And we kind of just are here to give you some insight and advice of what might work for you and things that you can use as a jumping off point for your own marathon towards, you know, branding success. So let's see, looking on here, let's get started. How do we get started with building a personal brand? Well, Christian Anderson, again, in his book, has 5 steps. He likes the number 5. I'm not sure why, but he has 5 steps towards building and growing a brand. He says the first thing you have to do is take an inventory, which is, you know, some of what we've already done. What do I do? You know, who am I? What's important to me? What's passionate to me? Then you develop your brand plan. So where am I going to market this? Is this going to be a personal brand just for social media? Am I going to take it throughout my entire career? Am I just going in my industry, or am I going, you know, whole world with this brand? Crafting your identity, picking out who you are and what you do, which we've sort of already covered. And then you want to choose the right tools and channels, and then measure and repeat, measure and repeat, measure and repeat ad nauseum. So crafting your identity, backing up a half a step, what kind of things do you imagine are the most successful identity crafting, or when you're picking a personal brand? I mean, obviously if you're, you know, Oprah or Bill Cosby or Donald Trump, you know, you are your brand. You don't have to come up with anything clever. Some examples that I've talked about in the past, Bill Nye, the Science Guy. That it's very concise. It tells you who he is, and it tells you what he does or what he's famous for doing. He is Bill Nye. He is the Science Guy. Yeah, he's, you know, teaches us science. Here in the Baltimore area, we have a very annoying series of automotive commercials for a company called Jack Antwerpen Automotive. Jack says yes is the motto. In all of his commercials, this little old man comes out and says yes. Jack says yes is the motto. And it says who he is, and it says what he's known for. You know, he might not be the guy selling you the car, but at the end of the day, he owns the dealership, and he's going to say yes to your deal. My own example, AV Dawn. Who am I? I'm Dawn. What do? I do AV. So you kind of want to craft something that's really, it tells you who you are and what you do. Kelly, I know on Twitter, what is your Twitter handle? It's
Vadio Kelly.
Vadio Kelly. That's perfect. It tells us who you are. You're Kelly, and you work at Vadio. Now, if you don't know what Vadio is, you know, it's a little more, for people outside the industry, it's a little more obscure. But for people in the industry, oh, yeah, that's Vadio Kelly. That's fantastic. We know just who she is and what she does. So that's kind of the key in picking your identity. And of course, if you're making that your brand, hurry up and run around. This goes right into the next one, choosing the right tools and channels. If you're going to use that as a personal brand, hurry up and buy all that property. Buy the URL, make sure you get the Twitter name, make sure you get the Facebook page, make sure you get the Pinterest. you can pretty much, if it's a social network, you want to make sure you get that name on the social network and in reality, you know, make sure there's no one copyrighted that name in the other side of the country anywhere. If you can, copyright it, that sort of thing. That's where we build the exclusivity of the brand. You know, if you have 12 companies called Coke, that there's a problem there. There's only one Coke, the real thing. Apple Computers and Apple Records, the original record label of the Beatles was called Apple Records. And when Apple Computers got into music, there ended up being a lawsuit between them and Apple Records when originally they played nice together. So you want to make sure that whatever name or brand you choose, it's individual enough and you can defend it by, you know, by running around and buying all these properties. So picking channels, social media, what do we want to do on social media? Kelly, what's your best thoughts for going into a business person trying to build a brand in personal media and social media?
Well, I think it really depends on, you know, the industry and what type of company and business you're running, whether it's, you know, B2B or B2C. Because I know, like, for Vadio, we've been really successful on Twitter. We've, you know, created a bit of a brand on LinkedIn. But Facebook isn't, I'll be honest, it's not huge for us. The majority of questions and, you know, kind of collaboration on Facebook is really, oddly enough, from international people. And I'm not saying it's bad. They're, you know, they're asking questions and inquiring about products and stuff, which is good because it, you know, it's just another, again, free, completely open resource for people to get in touch with us and ask questions and, you know, get information. But for Vadio, and I think for at least in the AV industry, as far as being, you know, B2B, I would say Twitter is huge. And I mean, obviously you and everybody else that participates in, you know, the kind of the AV tweet world, it's fairly well recognized and there's a lot of people that contribute and communicate via Twitter. I mean, would you say that Twitter's probably the biggest?
Pretty much. Yeah. You actually took some of the words like right out of my mind here, out of my mouth that, you know, if you read general business books or the internet, the various experts that have blogs out there on social media and on branding, you know, everyone's going to say, well, Facebook, it's got 1 billion active monthly users as of October of 2012, you know, the third most populous nation on the planet if it were a nation. You want to be on Facebook? Well, maybe. You know, I think you'd be silly not to at least have a page on Facebook. But for business to business, like most of us, a lot of us anyway, are that are in this industry, it's not that big a deal. You have to have the presence. You should be there. You might get some interesting questions and some interesting engagement there. But I am a big fan of Twitter, as you know, if you follow me. and the fact that there are things like AV Chat, which if you are on Twitter or new to Twitter, the hashtag AV Chat twice a month. Usually we get together a bunch of AV professionals online, and if you put that hashtag in, you can follow conversation, directed discussion, sort of a big open roundtable on whatever the topic of the week is. It's a great way to meet other people in the industry and keep on top of stuff. You know, Twitter's great that way. This one might make you laugh, but I consider it sort of the number one most important that a business person needs to be active on. And I'm guilty of not being as active as I should on it, but, and don't laugh, but it's Google Plus. I know, G Plus, why would you use that? Nobody uses that. Well, you're right. But one of the biggest things, you know, like Montoya said, you want to be visible. Visibility is key for online and branding success. Visibility online means SEO, search engine optimization. And over the past year and a half or so, Google, which is the biggest search engine out there, has changed its search engine algorithms twice, the Panda upgrade and the Penguin upgrade, and they're working on a new upgrade. I can't remember what cute little name they're calling it, but they're relying more heavily on social for search. And so if Google is relying on social more for search, and Google has their own social network, if you want Google rankings, even if no one's on there, you might want to use Google's search engine or Google's social network. And companies that have been using Google Plus do tend to be a little more heavily weighted in some of the search results.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and they may be changing that.
Sense.
Yeah, I mean, they may be changing that with this new upgrade that's coming out. But at the moment, Google Plus is where you want to be. At the very least, have a presence. At the very least, have a page and post on it periodically. I don't think you have to be on there quite as often as we're on Twitter or on Facebook. But if you're not on there at all, your results will probably suffer. Little known secret, but there you go. You kind of really want to be on G+ right now. I know I feel dirty just saying it, but
I know Google's taking over the world.
But they're not entirely evil, so I'll go along with it for now.
Now I'm going to have to go check my Vadio Google Plus account, make sure.
Right?
That.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I'm personally, both my personal page and my company page, guilty of not being on there as often as I should. We should bump that up. But it really is helpful. After Google Plus and Facebook and Twitter, I think fourth most important that you should be on is YouTube. YouTube currently
Absolutely.
Is one of the top search engines on the internet. As long ago as 2008, the number of searches on YouTube was second only to Google itself, believe it or not. People don't think of YouTube as a search engine. They think of it where they go to watch cats dance and other ridiculous things. But it is such a great resource. And some statistics that came out, and I can't recall the source right now, but including video on your landing page results in an 80% greater conversion rate is just, and in fact, I think that statistic might have been from one of the rave infographics in our industry on social media. But I mean, just the sheer numbers of people looking for video, engaging with video, following video, you want to be on YouTube. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be fancy overproduced videos either. It could just be a selfie shot video on, with a flip cam or your phone where you talk about what you're doing that day at the office. Or like our friend Phil Cordell from, I believe, Tennessee, Kentucky. He's an integrator. He does rap videos about our industry, which is absurd yet awesome. My personal favorite videos of all time, I think it's a Panasonic stereo in my car. Couldn't figure out how to change the time when the time change happened for daylight savings. Went onto their YouTube page and found a 15-second video where they just show you, this is how you change your time. Brilliant.
Isn't that amazing? I love that.
Yeah. I see here, sorry, Phil is in Nashville, Tennessee. Phil Cordell, our rapping AV guy, who's awesome. In picking your social network, you want to pick something that appeals to you, that you'll have passion to follow, to keep up with. Some people love answering questions. Quora is the site for them. SlideShare, if you do a lot of presentations and you want to get info and share info, put your presentations and slideshows and ebooks up on SlideShare for free. And it's a great way to build your brand expertise and establish yourself as a quote-unquote expert without calling yourself an expert. If you're a brick-and-mortar store, something like Yelp or Foursquare, if you want to bring people in to build foot traffic in your office, if you have a showroom. Now people love Pinterest. And I love Pinterest. It's a great time waster. At the end of 2012, more people spent more money on Pinterest than any of the other top five social media sites. And they call it one of the stickiest sites out there. And by sticky, social media people mean how long a visitor will stay on your site, and the average Pinterest user is on that site forever, far more hours than Facebook or any of the other social media networks. So, you know, look around at your different target markets and who you want to reach, and, you know, look into them. In a technology, I'm sure there are some, I haven't necessarily found them or participated in them, but if you're a home theater guy, I'm sure there are communities out there that are a specific network just for home theater geeks. I know there's DIY networks. There's things like Instructables and eHow and things like that. They're all fantastic niche networks that if you build a presence on those, it'll build your brand and your reputation so quickly. Anything to add?
On another note, just for, you know, creating videos and stuff, a really cool, easy way to kind of intro your way into it is using Vine. Have you ever used that, Don?
Vine, I have not, but it's because I'm Android people and not iPeople. And the folks over at Vine apparently hate Android people because they haven't given us Vine.
Okay.
At the moment, it's iPhone only.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. But it's one of my pet peeves because I really want to play with it.
It's really fun. I mean, you get to create, like, I think, is it 30-second videos or something? But it also gets you – so it's basically like Twitter for video. You know, like in Twitter, you get 140 characters, and Vine, you get like 30 seconds or so to create, you know, a story for a video. And what's cool about it is it gets you thinking really fast, but at the same time, you can create something super short, something really concise. And again, it's something if your company wants to start a YouTube channel, it's a really easy way to, you know, get up and running with, just using your iPhone, basically.
Right. Well, and to that end, just because Vine at the moment hates us, there's no reason us Android folks can't do that. We all have cameras on our phones nowadays. Just shoot 30 seconds of video or 6 seconds or 8 seconds or a minute of video of whatever interests you. If you're working on a specific project or if you're working on a new marketing campaign or just a couple of seconds of something, and you know, the phones just export it right into YouTube or wherever just as easily. I mean, Vine is a cool network and is designed to go right along with Twitter and to tweet out easily. But, you know, there are ways of doing it that you don't have to have that particular software to play along with. In fact, I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure on YouTube, the most popular videos are not the overblown, scripted, and professionally lit with the titles and the directors and the big budget corporate productions that in the past were where marketing was. The most successful ones are, you know, some kid, whether it's some kid in their bedroom or some kid at the office, just shooting a quick couple of seconds of video and slapping it online as is. And people, again, it goes to the authenticity. They can tell this is not scripted. This is not hours of corporate committees sitting around and discussing the best way to get this idea across. This is someone that's truly passionate about the topic and just shooting the video. So,
yep, I would absolutely back that up too. I mean, as far as YouTube's concerned, I would say, I mean, yes, I look at the funny videos and if people send me some fun stuff, but it's also super, you know, as far as the company's coming from, cool promotional fun videos to what you had mentioned before, the how-to videos, product videos, you know, just even just a brief explanation or an interview with one of your colleagues. And none of that stuff has to be very long at all. I mean, you could do a minute max and get tons of people to watch it, and you're not wasting any time as far as, you know, sucking up a half hour of their time by any means.
Right. Exactly. So, those are some of the channels that you can use socially, social network wise, to build your personal brand once you've developed one. Monitoring and tracking is not that difficult. Just general search engine optimization principles apply. Use Google Alerts to find out when people are talking about you and how they're talking. If you don't know SEO, go find a class on it or find a blog or a book. I'm definitely not an SEO expert and haven't had time to become one. But there are, you know, basic principles that a lot of people at this point are savvy enough. They've started understanding, you know, how to get recognized by Google, and there's enough resources out there. Go look it up. Mm-hmm. Google Alerts, I mentioned they're free. They send you an email anytime your name or your brand shows up in a search or social mention. Track it. Figure out how to improve it if it's a negative. Use it to address negatives. You know, you never want to ignore negatives on social media. You can just address them and say, I'm sorry you had a bad experience or whatever. But Google Alerts can tell you that that negative feedback's out there. Use things like Clout or Cred or Peer Index. They're tools that claim to measure your influencers and what they're influential in. They're not always as what they claim to be, but they're ways of measuring and getting some numbers. Whether or not they're the actual metrics that matter, it at least gives you an idea whether you're being successful. Mm-hmm. In short, you just want to work smart. And the acronym SMART for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound or occurring now. I mean, those, you always want to work smart when you're building a brand. You always want to work smart when you're dealing with social media. And those are some tips that can help you with your monitoring and tracking. Examples of time-bound. We could do an entire show on disasters in social media. In fact, we may put this down as a topic for the future. Disasters in social media, badly timed tweets or badly timed articles, blogs. Kenneth Cole and his PR mess with the Arab Spring uprisings, KitchenAid's Obama tweets, the Aurora hashtag being used by some clothing store after Colorado's happened. I mean, there's lists and lists of them. You know, you always want to be aware of what's going on when you're building your reputation, when you're building your brand, when you're participating in social media, because it could be very bad if you don't.
Yeah. That would be a good topic, actually.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
It'd probably be really fun.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I definitely am more of a fan of doing things internally, even if you don't have a quote-unquote expert on your staff in social media. If you outsource, you kind of lose that level of control and that level of oversight. Whereas if you have someone in staff, you can kind of keep on top of things. Or if you do it yourself, you can make sure, hey, I'm not really sticking my foot in it here. Other ways we can build our brand publicly, blogging, getting involved in the real world, like with the hashtag Twitter chats and tweet ups, speaking in front of local groups and trade associations. Duffy and Betsy would spank me if I didn't mention get involved with Infocom, volunteer for committees. Those are definitely real world ways of building your brand and your reputation. Do you have any others, Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we had talked about before. It's building your brand and being, you know, authentic and being real and just backing that up and, you know, really, really kind of trying to find that unique value proposition or what makes you unique and what are you trying to do with your personal branding? Are you trying to use it, you know, like you mentioned before, like specifically to an industry? Are you doing it globally? Are you doing it, you know, for a hobby that you're doing? I mean, it really just pick a focus and then kind of build from there.
Exactly. And you also want to think outside the box. Don't just think about appearances and social media. Think about, Hi-Fi, our friend from Nashville, he thought outside the box and he said, you know what, I'm in AV and I'm a technician, but I'm going to rap. I'm going to write songs that are a little goofy song about our industry. And then I'm going to put that on YouTube. And mm-hmm. He's now relatively famous in our industry for this ridiculous outside the box. I'm going to be the AV rapper idea. There are so many virtual places now, Second Life, World of Warcraft. It sounds completely ridiculous, but there are companies out there who are making a killing by setting up virtual storefronts to represent their real business in the virtual worlds. There was an accountant here in Baltimore that got national press for doing something similar. Mark Valenti, in one of his Infocom classes a few years ago, mentioned Second Life as a potential area to look at for the future of AV for setting up a storefront. It sounds ridiculous, but the virtual world and the real world do intersect at some point, and someone contact that you meet on a virtual world can translate into a real business customer. You know, if you've been to my blog, avdawn.com, I occasionally run a comic, AV Dawn's World. I found a little website that let me create web comics. And so I have a little cartoon me and some of the adventures that she gets into that are based on things I've run into. Just fun, interesting, weird, outside-the-box things that relate to your industry, relate to your brand, and can get that message out there. It doesn't always have to be just as stodgy, as traditional as, you know, I'm going to do a tweet about this, I'm going to put out a press release about this, I'm going to do a speech at this conference about this. You want to think outside the box, and you can be different, but still be yourself and be authentic, which is what we aim for. So we're almost out of time here. I guess in conclusion, in talking about personal branding, you know, going back to some of those five rules from earlier, the number one rule was be yourself. And, you know, when you're going after personal branding, you want to be authentic, consistent, original, visible, responsive, unique, remarkable, whatever you are. You want to be yourself, because, you know, at the end of the day, your company may change, and I've changed companies twice since developing my personal brand. But at the end of the day, even if your company changes, your personal brand is you. So just keep that in mind. Whatever you develop, it's you, and it's going to be you for the rest of your life. Don't mess it up.
And let's scare everyone.
Well, you know, I mean, it is kind of scary.
No, absolutely. Believe me,
With as many people in this world that are afraid of public speaking, putting yourself out there is a frightening concept. And if you're building a brand that you plan to market around you, you know, like I said earlier, I still get freaked out that people recognize me in our industry, because it's like, who am I, you know, to be recognized like that? But it's a challenging step. It's kind of scary, but once you do it, it's not that bad. You get used to it. And you get that visibility, and it really helps.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, reinforcing that, you know, and if you are yourself from the beginning, it really shouldn't be that different than anything else you do.
Right.
I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to be you.
Right, exactly. If you make a fake persona, people are going to figure out again that it is fake, and it's going to be hard to maintain. It's hard to keep up that facade. But if you just are authentic from the start and you just show who you are, for better or for worse sometimes, you know, people respond to that, and they respond to it in a real way, and it translates in such a way that so many people are more interested in doing business with you than someone that's glossy and plastic, you know, to quote Mean Girls. You don't want to be one of the plastics. You want to be a real person. Mm-hmm. And the last point that I wanted to make anyway is, there's an old adage, brands are what people say about you when you're not in the room. So if you're not branding yourself, you can just know that other people are doing it for you, whether it's competitors, you know, like the Mac PC ads, the Pepsi challenge, you know, taste ours versus theirs, whether it's review sites like Yelp, business ranking lists, somebody out there is always defining you. But if you build a strong personal brand and a strong company brand and take charge of your brand, you can make it work for you. And that's where success is. Kelly, do you have any final words?
Yeah. Again, your brand is, you know, your brand is who you are and what you do. And, you know, it's kind of a precious thing, you know, protect it and use it, you know, to do good things for your company, whether it, you know, like you said, whether you're with one company or move on to others, it's still always going to be your personal brand. And in the world of, you know, now that everything's online and apparently stays online forever. You know, just be careful and you know, be careful and protect your brand and have fun with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, everyone, I think that's about our time for today. My name is Dawn Mead, also known as AV Dawn. I work with NetAV, which is a systems integrator here in Maryland. I'm one of your co-hosts. The other co-host is Kelly Perkins of Vadio. And we will hopefully be back next month with another great show on a marketing, social media, or sales topic of interest to the AV world. In the meantime, check some of our old AV social shows. While we are the reboot version, edition one, there are some great shows in our last series with Scott Moody as the host. And check back here for future editions of AV Social. Thanks so much and have a great day.